TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 121, and I am Libby, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from Glendale.
Susie from Sherman Oaks.
And Allison from Tarzana.
All right, we got a full house today, and we are all back. Almost everybody here is back from Comic-Con except for Allison. Woohoo!
And I haven't quite recovered from it yet still.
Seriously.
But, yeah. Oh my god, it took me days to recover. Oh, I was literally like in some sort of zombie-like walk.
But totally worth it.
It was, because I got some of the best interviews ever. Mm-hmm. And if you guys want to go see them, you got to go to Wheatonopolis.com under event coverage. Look for my name. I interviewed like everybody. It was awesome. The top of the list was Iron Man 3, Robert Downey Jr., and Don Cheadle.
Go, girl.
And I didn't actually, when I say I interviewed them, I was in the press room, and it was like a president's press conference, and you had to get picked, and I didn't get picked.
Oh.
Sad face. However, I did film it all, and I was in the room with them, which, and I didn't have to stand in line for Hall H, so, and I was in the third row, so hoo-hoo. The other thing I discovered, if you guys are ever going to Comic-Con again, is that Warner Brothers actually put their booth outside the convention, mm-hmm. so you don't actually need a Comic-Con pass to hang out at their booth, which mm-hmm. is, and they basically, their booth is a big stage, mm-hmm. so.
Oh, the extra stage near the Batmobiles?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that was Warner Brothers. So that's why they had the cast of all their shows
But they did have a booth inside too, with an awkwardly placed Man of Steel costume.
Yeah.
It was awkwardly placed because they had it facing in towards the booth, which was almost always crowded with security. It's like, put it facing out so people can stop and look at it.
And there wasn't even a big S on the back of the cape, so like if you walked by, you didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a red cape. Yeah. It's like, ooh.
Oh, I totally didn't see it. Yeah. But anyway, mm-hmm. I've discovered that stage on Saturday, and I didn't get Vampire Diaries press or get into the room because I was doing press for other stuff. So the fact that I got to see them on stage was really pretty cool. So I managed to avoid the crowds and everything. There was like nobody out there. It's like nobody knew that they
were... Nobody knew! Well, it was they got to put the word out.
Yeah,
Now the word is out.
Yeah, they sent it out, but people thought it would just be like a 2-minute little red carpet, like, hey, how's it going? Great, have a nice day, bye thing.
No, but it was like 15 minutes.
Yeah, and so they actually put a lot more into it.
So. Right, and so I was like in the third row or whatever, and I filmed that too, and I put that up. But the main things that I did press for were, I did Fringe, which I fought tooth and nail for. Thank you. She's like having me on my list. It's like Fringe, Supernatural, Lost Girl, Warehouse 13, Alphas. Is that it? I did do Spartacus, but I'm having audio issues with my, that was my first interview and my mic. I bought this.
Did you talk to Liam?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Yes. I talked to all of them, but the problem is I have no audio for some of that. So I'm trying to reconstruct my audio and beg and plead some of the other reporters who were there with me to give me audio. Okay. So maybe I can get those up. But that's the only one that I'm missing. Everything else is up, and it's a lot of interviews. I talked to all the actors. Mm-hmm. So it's great. Like, that was probably my best Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Yay. Anyway. So like I said, want to see him, Wheatonopolis.com, event coverage. And I hope you guys enjoyed our on-the-fly Comic-Con thing. But let's move on. Comic-Con was so last week.
Although Reels Channel ran a special this weekend about Comic-Con.
Oh, and if you want to see all the panels, I discovered... This is how I watch the panels, but I didn't get to see them.
Yeah.
GeekNation.com has a lot of the big panels. Okay. Anything in Hall H,
wow.
They have online the full thing, and it's pretty
cool. Anything that can show me Comic-Con without actually having to be at Comic-Con is something that I'm very happy about.
And so let's move on. The next thing I want to talk about is the Emmy list. Mm-hmm. And, before we get into the Emmy list, Warehouse 13 and Alphas premieres this week.
Monday,
so be sure to watch it. All right, Emmy list.
The last sci-fi left on
sci-fi.
Coming back.
I took a look at I took a look at the Emmy list, and I put it on my Twitter feed so you guys could see my choices for the Emmys. So you could agree, disagree, tell me I'm wrong and crazy. But let's
all of the above,
or all of the above, please.
Oh, and by the way, we don't agree with your Emmys. No, just kidding.
Yeah, and that's
crazy in general.
I was about to say you haven't even looked at my Emmy list, my choices. Let's first go over the list. The big stuff is for comedy series: Big Bang Theory, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Girls, Modern Family, 30 Rock, and Veep.
I think it's interesting that the three major broadcast networks each have one, and HBO has three.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I don't think 30 Rock should be on the list. Cause
no, it was
this
terrible
year,
this
30
year.
Rock wasn't very
Big
good.
Bang has its day.
Parks and Rec should have been NBC.
Well, I mean, Big Bang was good this season. It was really
Big Bang
good.
Was very good.
Really good season.
Yeah. Mayim Bialik, first ever Emmy nomination.
Yes, okay. Yes. Well, I haven't gotten to that yet. You're jumping ahead.
Sorry.
Okay. Actor in a comedy, Jim Parsons playing Sheldon Cooper. Larry David as himself, Don Cheadle as House of Lies. I was glad that made it.
I'm almost done with season
yeah.
one. It was an interesting show.
I liked it.
It was a terrific show, actually. Yeah.
Louis C.K. as Louis. Alec Baldwin as Jack Donaghy.
Seriously?
And, what, Louis?
No, Jack Alec Baldwin. Donaghy. It's like...
They nominated 30 Rock. You gotta nominate Jack Donaghy.
Emmy voters are lazy. It's
like
30 Rock, just put him up there.
John Cryer as Alan Harper. And I was like, really?
Really?
Anyway. Oh. And then comedy actress, we have Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham. See, she has a cool name, and I really don't like her.
It's interesting that women have been the harshest critics of her show.
I don't like her. I just don't,
you don't
like
her at all?
I don't know the actress, but the character. Okay, how
about
like
this? The character?
The character just really turns me off. Melissa McCarthy for Mike and Molly, Zooey Deschanel for New Girl, who I also don't like. Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie. I've just never seen that show. Mm-hmm. Amy Poehler.
Poehler
from Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Tina Fey, 30 Rock. Yeah. And Julia Louise Dreyfus for Veep. Now, I think she's good on Veep.
I love the show, but I'm biased.
I mean, I watched like three episodes and I was like, yeah.
Well, then who do you think Tom would be on that?
My pick is Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
For
because
Parks and Rec.
It was a great season for the show overall, and I love her.
Well, the big thing about supporting actor is almost everyone is from Modern Family. Like, I was... Like,
I
Modern
know,
Family...
Yeah, they all
like
got
four,
it, yeah.
Four of them are the guys
every
from
guy
Family.
In Modern Family got
so
nominated.
I close my eyes and pick.
Every
that.
Adult guy.
Yeah, every adult guy on the show got nominated, yeah. And all the women got nominated. Like, basically the entire cast of Modern Family.
The adult cast of Modern Family.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Let's be specific. Yes.
Hey, I want those kids to make a breakthrough, because those kids are great.
They're good.
They are. Especially Luke, I think.
He's awesome. Freaking... He's a genius, literally.
He is awesome.
He is literally... He's a Mensa member.
Yes.
Max Greenfield from New Girl. Bill Hader.
Hater.
See, I don't know any of these people.
For SNL.
For SNL, for supporting actor, and then for supporting actors in a comedy, like you said, go ahead, Amy Farrah Fowler.
Oh,
Mayim Bialik.
Yes,
Dr.
That's. I'm actually really happy for her, because she knocked it out of the park.
I hope she wins. It would be awesome if she won for that and Parsons won again.
See, I would say Edie Falco, because she's already won like four times. They seem to love to give Emmys to her, which I don't have a problem with, because I think I do watch Nurse Jackie and I think she's awesome in it. But who knows? You know, they may decide just for variety to give it to somebody else.
Now, has she won for Nurse Jackie? I know she won for Sopranos a couple times.
Yeah, she did. She also won four times for Nurse Jackie.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. All right, for dramas, we have Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, and Mad Men.
The
and,
networks
were great
shut
lineup.
Out for the first time ever.
I looked at this list and I was like, who hates me? Like, I don't know what I would pick.
I'd be like Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Breaking Brad.
That's actually where I was.
Yeah,
too.
I would
all these shows that
I
watched. I
would eliminate Downton Abbey just because season two wasn't very good.
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, I don't like Mad Men, so that was off my list easy. Downton Abbey.
I love Mad Men.
I thought... Although season 5 was controversial for Mad Men, I loved it. I would guess it would be between Mad Men and Homeland.
Yeah, I think Mad Men had a weak final episode.
Yeah.
But because it was just kind of, you know, meh. But everything that came before it, I thought was brilliant.
I was torn with Homeland was really good.
It was.
And it's I think that that's where it's going to go, yeah. Actually.
You think he's going to go to Homeland?
Well, I think he's going to get it for actor for Homeland, maybe.
I think Damian Lewis is Cranston's most serious threat.
I do too, but I'm thinking it could still be Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones again.
Because Game of Thrones didn't
Game of Thrones, I think, will eventually win.
Did they even get nominated last year?
Yes.
They did?
They did. It's so much bigger now, though. I think the Academy's probably going to ride on it.
I think.
I honestly think that those are the two strongest contenders, is Game of Thrones and Homeland.
To knock off Mad Men?
Yeah.
I don't think the Mad Men's going to win this year.
No.
I'd be surprised.
As much as I like the season overall, I thought it was brilliantly done. I don't think it's going to win. Yeah.
I think Breaking Bad has gotten a lot of acclaim.
Yeah.
So,
but it's never won.
Yeah, I know.
For drama.
But I'm saying it's gotten a lot of acclaim.
It would be interesting if Cranston doesn't win for actor if they gave series to Breaking Bad, drama series to Breaking Bad.
That's why I'm thinking Damon might get it for Homeland and maybe Breaking Bad will get it for
Okay, we're going on a long time about this. Yeah. Let me go through the list. Because we still have like a lot of shows.
A lot of shows.
I hit the highlights.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll just do actor and actor real quick, which is... Glenn Close for Damages, Michelle Dockery for Down Abbey,
nope.
Juliana Margulies for Good Wife, Kathy Bates for Harry's Law, Claire Danes for Homeland, and Elizabeth Moss for Mad Men. And I'm going to say right now it's Claire Danes.
Claire Danes for the win.
Claire Danes. Yeah.
Claire Danes.
That's
for
it. There's not even close.
Oh my gosh.
I love Glenn Close, but unfortunately Damages is seen by a fraction of the audience, and who knows even if the people voting have all seen it. So... I really think Claire Danes is going to walk away with this.
Yeah. And plus, Carrie Matheson was such a great character.
Yeah, we're all in it.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Actor: Steve Buscemi, Boardwalk Empire; Bryan Cranston, Breaking Bad; Michael C. Hall, Dexter. Why do they even bother?
No.
Hugh Bonneville for Downton Abbey.
No.
Damian Lewis for Homeland, and John Hamm for Mad Men. And I think the big competition is going to be Damian Lewis, John Hamm, and Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
I don't see,
I think Steve Buscemi is also a big contender.
Well, I mean, Steve Buscemi's great, but I don't know if he's in the competition.
Yeah.
I think even though this was the best season for Hamm on Mad Men in terms of by letting Don be a hero finally instead of an anti-hero, but still Lewis's performance in that season finale,
it was unbelievable.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with you on that.
He would be hard to beat, honestly. You know, I think that he's the one who's going to walk away with it.
The only thing I want to, because we do have to get onto the show, I'm going to skip to miniseries, and the big thing here is Luther versus Sherlock versus American Horror Story.
Okay, we just take out American Horror Story because it was terrible.
Not even going to be.
And why it tied for the most number of Emmy nominations, I think they're lucky that the Academy let them compete as a miniseries.
See, I disagree. I really enjoyed that show, and I thought that it improved as it went along.
Well, he's talking about being in the miniseries category, really.
I agree with you that I don't think it belongs in the miniseries category. It's clearly a series, and it's going to have a second year. But, you know, in terms of just people voting for what they like, it got a lot of press. It got a lot of attention. So.
Yeah, but
I don't think it's better than Sherlock, though. Luther, actually.
Not only that, just because you can quote visually other great horror films does not make you a great horror TV show.
Okay, moving on. Like I said, my big thing is Luther or Sherlock.
Sherlock.
Sorry.
I think Sherlock will knock it off.
I voted for Sherlock as well. However, when you get to the lead actor, it is Idris Elba versus Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
Sorry. Just call him Cumbergod like the rest of us.
Cumberbatch. Sorry.
Cumbergod.
And I picked Idris over him. Because I gave the series. That was how I looked at it. But I think, because the main thing about Luther, the reason Luther is good is because of the
acting. Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
He's the reason why the show's good.
Oh, yeah.
Sherlock is good because the actor and the story and the whole thing.
Well, the thing is, based on that criteria, I would tend to agree with you. Because I remember when you pitched me on watching Luther, and I'm like, yeah. And then when I was in England on vacation, I devoured that first season. It was like crack. It's like, I must find out what's going on. So, and he makes that show.
Yeah, without him, there is no show.
And it's such a, it's such a difficult pitch if you say, oh, it's about a troubled detective.
You're not going to watch it.
But it's played by Idris effing Elba.
All right. The thing is, I think he's brilliant in it. I think he's absolutely amazing. But again, I think that when it comes down to the voters voting for it, the Emmy voters voting for it, I think more people will have seen Sherlock than will have seen Luther, and the votes are going to go to Cumberbatch.
Well, we got to move on. We have to actually start talking about the shows now. We're 15 minutes into the podcast.
Okay.
All right. So let's do the timer because we are way, way behind.
We'll just hit the hot spots as we go through.
Yes. All right. First up, let's talk about Newsroom. And the thing about Newsroom is the third episode, I was like, I don't know, man. This show might be starting to suck. However, I got to this episode, and I was like, oh, my God, it almost made me cry. Like, I really liked it. This was the one that was like, okay, this show, I can watch the show.
The thing I love about Newsroom, and I'm biased because I'm a big fan of Sorkin's. And
so am I.
Back in the day, well, it's there's a lot of Sorkin bashing going on in the press and among fandom right now. And I just think it's such a fascinating, compelling setup. And the key is, by setting it in the recent past,
right,
he can have the characters make mistakes or not make mistakes, and therefore, you know, he's going to get on the soapbox a little bit. But I just like the characters. The characters. I like the actors. I like his writing. I like his dialogue. It's just Jeff Daniels. This is the show this is the guy who starred in Dumb and Dumber with Carrie and didn't make Carrie's salary. And the guy is solid, but man. And bringing in Hope Davis to play that, you know, that obnoxious tabloid reporter, brilliant. Just, yeah. Love it.
It was good. Allison?
I thought it was fantastic. Everything about the episode just clicked. And, you know, it still has that edge of preachiness to it. It's Sorkin.
It's Sorkin.
I think that they got more of a handle on it in this episode than they have in the past. I didn't feel like, oh, here we go. Here's the lecture now. And even though we were still getting handed pretty much the same material, I really loved the way it was handled, and the whole show just clicked. I mean, it was over before I realized that it had started, practically. It was like, wow, that's an hour? That's quick. It just flew, because it was just constructed so beautifully and handled so well.
Yeah.
So I thought that they really hit it with this episode.
And
I hope that the further they go along, the more we get like this.
And the timing is really crazy considering the events in Colorado.
I don't think that they could have planned for that. Really.
Well, they probably would have ended up not airing that episode.
No, they probably wouldn't have. But it's just ironic that, you know, these things happen.
Right.
And always keep in mind the great line when Chris Messina, who plays Jane Fonda's son on the show, who's barking, you know, go with the Giffords is dead. And they're like, She's not a story. She's a human being.
Right.
That was a great
moment. That was really good. That was a really good moment.
I wish real reporters would take that into account more
often.
Yeah. Because what is it? ABC News did the same thing. They reported stuff without having anything.
Without verification.
Right.
It's interesting because in All the President's Men back in the 70s, the whole thrust of that movie is Woodward and Bernstein finding a second source to verify. And the sad thing about current journalism.
Nobody does that.
Nobody second sources anymore.
Nobody gets a first source half the time.
Well, they don't make sure the first. Yeah, that's the thing. You gotta.
We live in an age where news is basically rumor, innuendo, and just flat out made up crap. You know.
Okay, now we're about to get on a soapbox right now.
But I have news basically. You know, and I think that that's what Newsroom is trying to say is that, you know, we want to be able to try to act as if there is a station out there that holds a higher standard.
And to elevate the level of discourse in the country.
That's true. And that was where he kept getting in trouble with all his dates, was that he kept trying to make them better people, and then he kept getting drinks thrown at him. So that was... what was great was, like, I think the second or third time that happens, he was like, this keeps happening a lot. That was a great comment. All right, so let's move on. Great show. I am into it. Next up, let's talk about True Blood, which I am out of.
Yes, and I do not regret dropping it halfway through episode 2 of this season. And
Well, for me...
Well, this last episode had a moment in it, and as soon as I saw it happen, I thought to myself, Libya is no longer watching.
Well, okay, that one moment, yeah, I can understand
Well,
that.
I mean, we could tell it. We could tell it was
yeah,
an
the
aired.
Episode's
aired.
Yeah.
Aired. Chris Maloney
we just lost Libya as a viewer.
He took that stake to the chest, and I was like, why? There goes my reason to watch the show.
Why did they bother booking such a prominent guest star for such a short time?
Well, I think that was the plan. I mean, it wasn't going to be for the entire series anyway. I think they probably wanted to just shake things up. I actually liked this episode, and be honest, I didn't like the first couple of years of the show. I just watched it because everyone else was. But this was probably the only episode that I actually liked in the last year, because it wasn't just all about the sex. There was, like, actually plot to it. But, and I don't know, I guess I'm more into the supernatural part and the soups, as they call them. So having, now we have this whole, like, fire monster, which I thought added new, the different characters, the sub-characters
seriously,
are
seriously the fire monster? That's the part
I
fast
I wish
forward.
They would drop that subplot.
Well,
I really wish they would.
But I like the idea that they're actually now going to these B-plots, so these B-actors, characters, and actually going into their stories now. I find it different.
I totally disagree, because that's the part that I find incredibly boring. Because, yes, they're going into them, but it feels like they're half-heartedly going into them. They're not giving them good stories. Their stories are just like, okay, we should probably do a story about this character. What should it be? I don't know, something. You know,
it's like the actor's agent said, we want more to do.
More.
Well, so they feel obligated
trusting
to create
them
a B story for
so
them.
So far in the past, they tend to bring these places, and so I'm hoping that at some
point... No, they don't. I totally disagree with you.
No,
like, every time they start a story, I'm always disappointed with the outcome. So I don't have faith in the writers of True Blood. I really don't.
Well,
so
or should you? Because they have proven themselves to be untrustworthy.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to keep.
Well, you know, I'm still watching because they've brought back Russell Edgington, and I want to see what happens there because he's always fun to watch.
He is fun, but I feel like, why did I have to trade Chris Maloney for Edgington? Like, I don't feel like that's a fair trade for me personally.
I would have liked to have seen him on the show longer. You
the
know,
only thing that has me halfway intrigued, and I mean halfway, is the whole Suki is now in with the fairies. Like, she went in to investigate about her parents' death, and that's actually interesting because it's her and her brother working together to figure this mystery out. And so, yes, it involves no sex or anything like that. It's just them having a discussion
and
trying to solve something.
Yeah, and she's got more control over her power now, too.
Right, she can do it whenever she wants.
Now, not being familiar with the book series, if Suki's parents are fae, why doesn't Jason?
That's the thing.
Is he super powered to strip shirtless within seconds? Or?
No. That's part of the whole. Fae are very sexual beings, and so that's part of. He got that part.
Oh, so he gets his.
Yeah, but their great grandfather was Fae. So by the time it got down to them, it wasn't like everybody, only she got the power.
So it's like on Bewitched where Tabitha's got magic and Adam doesn't.
Yeah. Right.
It might be in like the female chromosome or something.
Well, it's not the female. It doesn't have to be female because her great-grandfather was Fae, but it's just all about, and that's why the great-grandfather doesn't care about Jason because Jason isn't Fae, and so the grandfather's like, I don't care about you at all. Mm-hmm. But I like the story. I'm hoping that they introduce the great-grandfather. They've introduced the grandfather. Which was, I just blanked on his name.
Gary
Cole. Gary
Cole.
Gary Cole was the grandfather. But the great grandfather is actually the king of the Fae. And so she's actually royalty. And that storyline is really good if they do it. So I'm hoping they do that.
Yeah, but they've gone so far afield from the books.
That's true. But they might, I mean, the opportunity to make Suki royalty, come on, you can't pass that up.
I'm just wondering how long they're going to let the series go on.
I don't know. Somebody shoot me about it. I don't know.
As long as it gets ratings, you know, they're going to keep doing it.
All right, so we got to wrap that up. I don't like being a sourpuss too long, so let's move on. The next one we're going to talk about is Breaking Bad.
Woo-wee!
And the Maggots. Breaking Bad premiere was fantastic. That was like, it basically took all the loose threads of last season, pulled them all together, and I like the moment where Walt is trying to remember everything he forgot. You know, like, he's like, okay, I gotta get all the pieces of the bomb making put together. Oh yeah, the plant. You know, like, he's going through all these things. He's like, okay, what loose ends did I leave? And what's great is when he remembers the videotape, like, at the end, he thinks, he's relaxing, he's got his drink, he's totally fine, and then he's like, curses, you know. And I like that it was Jesse's idea.
Magnets.
Yes. That's all you're gonna say for the whole podcast?
No, I just I have I came into this episode cold, except for listening to last year's podcast about the season.
I cannot believe you did that.
Sometimes you just got to jump in the pool. But aside from the brief refresher that Libya gave me today, I love this show. Cranston, man, that dude is awesome.
Well, what was...
Just the looks on his face.
Right.
Holy crap, the guy is amazing.
What's great, though, which is why you probably want to go back and follow up and
get
backed up, is because essentially seeing where he is now, you have to see where he started.
Oh, right.
The evolution of him to get there is what's so mind-blowing.
I saw the pilot and it wasn't my cup of tea, but
yeah,
I've been
told by everybody
from this room to students that got to get past those first couple episodes and then it's freaking awesome.
And I'm saying this from experience because I only did that myself like 2 weeks ago.
Went from zero to all.
I downloaded the whole thing and
What's so funny is all my friends are now watching Breaking Bad. It's so weird. It's like...
Why is that weird?
Well, because at the same time, like my friend from Missouri was like, yeah, I just decided to watch Breaking Bad. I watched it in like 2 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
It's just
a point where it's almost like
it's like the consciousness, everybody is talking about it.
And I feel like I'm missing out. I'm like, that I gotta get into that.
So everybody at work is now watching it. They all caught up last season, and it's just strange. But it's good because they're watching some good stuff. But what I was gonna say, the thing about Walt that makes him scary, because there's that scene where he's threatening
the lawyer.
I can't forget his name.
Bob Odenkirk is the actor's name.
Saul. So the scene where he's threatening Saul, the thing about Walt is he's not really particularly tough. So Saul could probably take him in a fist fight. You know what I'm saying? So he's not a tough guy.
But he's smart.
He is smart. But the thing that's dangerous about him is he's like one of those kids that used to get bullied in high school. And then all of a sudden they get power and they lose their freaking minds. Mm-hmm. That's what Walt
is.
Yeah, well, no, he's
he can blow people up.
Yeah, and he will.
And Saul knows
that. Yes, he can.
And he will. And my thing is, you only want to go against Walt if you're willing to kill him.
Yeah. Now, did we know about the Gus's? It looks like offshore bank accounts or whatever.
Well, no, we didn't know about his offshore bank accounts. We knew he had money because
he
gave Walt like $3 million to.
But I'm just wondering
with.
if there's the possibility of other incriminating evidence in there.
Well, not really, because Gus was really smart.
Yeah.
Gus was actually, if anybody was smarter than Walt, it was Gus. So that's why when they actually do that whole, for like almost a whole season, they're doing the battling of wits.
Yeah.
And Walt is losing for almost every...
He gets desperate, too.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, because Gus is so much smarter. Like, every other drug dealer he's dealt with has always been stupid. And Walt has always been able to outthink everyone.
Yeah.
And then he goes up against Gus, and he can't outthink him.
Mm.
So that's the thing. That's why you're just like, wow. And I like the fact that Gus actually realized what was going on right before he got blown up. He went, oh, wait. And then he figured it out, and then he got blown up. It's too late. So that was, and the only thing is he used Gus's ego against him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is Walt's biggest fault. It's his own ego.
Yeah.
So that's it's so.
It seems like Gilligan is setting this up like a classical tragedy.
In terms of a good man brought low. Oh yeah.
And just willing to do. I mean, it's got shades of Macbeth.
He's already said there's like very little redemption for Walter White coming up. They're all. It's like Butch Cass and. Cassidy and Sundance Kid? Yeah, but like they're both the bad guys, kind of thing. Where it's like, just be prepared for it to go out with a bang.
Well, I assume it's going to go down like that. The only thing is the wife, when she says she's afraid of him, Walt kind of likes that.
You know
what I'm saying? He likes the fact that she's afraid of him.
I saw that in his eyes. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's like, dude, really? You want your wife to be afraid of you? Who does
and
that?
And it's interesting because the only person that really isn't afraid of him is Jesse, but that's just because
Jesse doesn't realize.
He doesn't realize it, but also because he's been in it with Walt so much, I think it's because he feels like...
He's blind.
Yeah, he's got it. He's like, oh, Walt, you know, come on, man. We've got each other's back through thick and thin.
And
I don't think it's unsuspecting.
He doesn't
I don't know
what
he's
Walt
got
has
some,
done behind his back.
There's going to be some unfortunate events for Jesse, I have no doubt this
oh,
year.
Oh, yeah. No, this is not going to end well no, for anybody.
My prediction is Jesse's... I can only see Jesse being the one killing Walt. Like, I think that's the perfect ending.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because he needs to... Because of all the things that Walt has actually done to him that he didn't
completely.
Know about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so. If that stuff comes out, which I hope it does, it would just be brilliant, yes.
All right, so okay. moving on. Yep. All right, it was awesome. Watch Breaking Bad if you're not. It's on Netflix. All right, so next up, let's talk about Political Animals. And this is, as we were talking about, miniseries. This is a miniseries.
This is a miniseries / backdoor pilot.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
If really? Well, because...
They said if it does well that they would make another season.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Kind of
like
The Starter Wife. The ratings were okay, not fantastic. But, okay.
But I mean, I'm just saying, I liked it.
Oh, no, I like it a lot, too. I like it a lot, too.
No, the allusions to Hillary Clinton are just... ridiculous.
Oh, man. You just have to wonder.
It's not an illusion. It's actually flat out stating. This is who they are.
When somebody told me about this show, I'm like, seriously? Seriously?
But I mean, it's all in the execution though.
But still, when you got Sigourney Weaver.
Right.
When I think the weakest part is Ciaran Hines' portrayal of the Clinton-esque
Yes,
character.
Yes,
he's
and
little...
I normally love Ciaran Hines. He's one of my favorite actors, but he just pretty much fails in this role. Well, I mean, he's just a grotesque cartoon rather than a human being.
I wouldn't blame that on him. I blame it on the writing. It's over the top cartoon.
He's way too over the top.
It's in the writing, but he could take it down if he wanted to. And I mean, maybe he's getting direction to do that. I wouldn't doubt that.
Well,
it's just so ridiculous. He's like Foghorn Leghorn as a president. That's it. It's crazy.
But the pilot was written and directed by Greg Berlanti. So, you know, when the showrunner creator is also the director,
then you're doing exactly what he wants.
Yeah, you're doing what he wants, but it's just not.
It may be
what he wants, but it's not coming off.
No, right.
He's too. I agree with you. They're making him smart, but they're making him so smarmy that I wouldn't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you wonder why she married him in the first place. Right, basically, it's like why.
I love. I'm interested to see where they're going to go in the relationship between Carla Gugino and Sigourney Weaver. Because that's kind of...
That's interesting.
She's got second billing. And I've loved Carla Gugino since Spin City. And she was bounced from that show when she was originally supposed to be the co-lead of it.
Okay.
Spin City, Michael J. Fox. It was supposed to be the
two. Let's keep going.
But but I like her as an actor. And I just... It's so rare that you see two strong women. And right now they're kind of at odds. But... It looks like they're going to make them allies.
Oh, yeah. They're very much dovetailing together by the end of the show, which I like. No, I thought it was a really great opener for a series. It certainly got me hooked, so I'm definitely going to be tuning in again.
Yeah, and I like her sons. I like the scene where she smacks her son upside the head and is like, you do not talk to the president that way.
Seriously.
And Adrian Pastar as the president, he's now typecast as a president. I love it.
I'm thinking, well, I guess he failed in Heroes, so he made
it. I had no idea he was in this until I saw his name in the credits. I'm like, okay.
I love him. He's a great actor. And I'm downloading The Lying Game because I found out I looked at his IMDb and I was like, what is he been doing? And it's like, I was like, oh, that looks awful.
Making money.
but he's in it, so now this will be what, I might watch that over my Italia break.
Again, it boggles my mind how USA's development comes up with such great shows and NBC's, the sister network, doesn't.
Right. It's a good show. I mean, I think thumbs up. I'm going to keep watching.
Yeah. I was actually the thing that was always sort of annoying me while I was watching it, though, is that the one who plays the younger son is essentially reprising his entire role
from
Kings.
Yeah,
I thought that too. I was like, so you're on Kings. Yeah, okay.
Well,
I didn't think that.
He's got a strong co-lead in the next Captain America movie. It's titled after his character, so.
All right, so he gets to do something else. All right, let's move on. Next up, let's talk about Falling Skies.
I would say, and I know Allison disagrees with me, but whereas season one I watched out of obligation because I knew one of the writers, season two I'm kind of digging because I'm like, where are they going? There's actual suspense about what's going on, and I'm starting to care about some of these characters.
Right. Well, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think that the show has definitely improved. I mean, I'm still watching it, and I'm actually even enjoying it at times.
Oh, stop the presses. Allison said she's actually enjoying Falling Skies sometimes.
It must be a sign of the apocalypse, right? But anyway, yeah, it is definitely better. The quality of the writing is better. I don't feel like cringing every time somebody opens their mouth to speak. It's definitely improved. And there's one thing that they're exploring in the show that I really like, and that's the fact that there are factions amongst the bad guys. Mm-hmm. You know, they actually there's a split there. They're not just one big unit, you know.
Right. And I like that there's a resistance, and the humans, the humans can be part of it. And the introduction, this week's episode, let's be specific, was all about the blonde chick, I forgot her name, who they lost in season one, and she has been harnessed and part of this whole group for so long, and then she's like, oh, I'm back, I'm fine, everything's great, but, you know, don't trust her. And she manipulated literally everyone there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
But if you didn't see that coming, you should
I saw that coming. Yeah. Like, that's the thing I actually was I was a little annoyed this week because I could see where they were going from a mile away. Mm-hmm. And normally what I've liked this season is they've surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how Ben is. I like the...
Well, he's always been a wild card, though.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I like about it. Mm-hmm. I like how they've changed his character. They've made him more mature. They've made him making his own way, making his own decisions, keeping secrets and all this other stuff, but for good reason, not for bad, you know? So I've liked how they've dealt with the Ben character. I don't like how easily, because he's the first one that says she's trying to trick us, mm-hmm. yet he's the first one that gets tricked. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that. But generally speaking, I'm really enjoying this season, and I think... This one in particular I thought was okay, but for the most part...
I thought the one before...
was really good,
was
right.
was amazing.
Right. So I feel like this one was okay, but and I thought that the fight between...
the brothers?
No, not the brothers. Between
oh,
Mason,
between the girls.
Tom Mason and his girlfriend. The doctor.
Oh, and the doctor, yeah.
I thought that their fight was arbitrary. Like, yeah. That felt like they're sleeping together, now they're going to fight. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that, like, that was a little
false. It was kind of perfunctory, but...
Yeah. But then they made up and it was over, so I was like, okay,
of
fine.
Of course.
Let's move on to something important.
Right. And I did think that the whole... Because I felt that when the colonel got bitten a couple episodes ago...
Right,
I was like,
by the harness.
I was like, it has to be a reason why he got bitten by the harness, right? So now we're like, okay, but... I want to know what would have happened if they hadn't stopped the virus. Was he going to turn into one of those things? Like...
We don't know.
I know, but that's...
Yeah, they left that kind of open. And, you know, you don't know if he's been completely cured either.
Yep.
At the very most, maybe they've just, you know, kind of slowed it down.
And we still don't know if Tom's going to have any effects from his time with
right.
the Skitters.
So they're all being changed from the inside out. Ooh.
Right.
I just have an... Hopefully when they do get to Charleston, I hope the writers have something really cool up their sleeve.
The only thing I can think of is when they get to Charleston, it's part of... Because remember, the aliens were like, we want all the humans to come to one place. And I'm like, that sounds like what's going on in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the feeling I'm getting about that.
So, yeah. It did get picked up for season 3, so...
It's been good, so I'm glad. Yeah.
And the ratings are huge.
Really?
Yeah, the ratings are huge. I mean, it's fascinating. The basic cable... channels are really starting to rock the networks. I mean, NBC would kill for ratings for a show like this.
Well, see, NBC didn't think of it first. All right. And they would have canceled it already.
Yeah,
true.
All right. So next up, let's talk about Leverage Against My Will. And meaning that there are two people on the podcast that enjoy the show, and I find it overly boring, and they wish to discuss the premiere. So go forth and discuss under protest. I protest.
No, fair enough. And to be honest, I'm waiting to see how it goes this season because if this was their beginning episode, I am not impressed. The
yeah,
whole
yeah.
idea it was like how
well you know they just they established that they moved
yes.
you know, to another location. They're in
right.
Portland now,
so now they don't have to fake being in Boston when they've been filming in Portland this whole time anyway. So yeah, that was a big part of it. But also the fact that and I don't know, maybe it was just me, but the whole plot, the idea of this guy who's supposedly believing that he's actually flying the Spruce Goose, this giant machine, and all they've done is
yes.
tricked him with lights and sounds and vibrating seats. I was thinking, you know what? Didn't I see this in like a MacGyver or 1980s TV show?
I mean, really, there was nothing surprising about it. And all I kept thinking was, how could you be this dumb?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the whole
thing. And the other thing that bothered me is, isn't the Spruce Goose still in Long Beach?
Yeah, hello. The whole thing was just, it was very pedantic as far as a storyline goes.
Okay, seriously. Never get let facts get in the way of a giant story.
Well, a little thing like that.
Okay, so my question, why did you guys insist on talking about Leverage then?
Because I still want to give it a go, and also because I like what they're doing, at least with the relationships of the characters. They're at least acknowledging them now, and I think it's kind of cute. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, we'll see where those go, see if their official move to this new location will mix things up, and so...
Yeah, and clearly they left it all the way to the very, very final scene.
Yes.
But clearly there is something going on.
There's something brewing in the background that's going to come to them. So I'm willing to get... I'm still enjoying it. Is it a great show? No. But is it brain candy that I can watch while I'm doing other stuff and still appreciate it?
Yes.
Then it's okay.
Except it got to the point where it was so irritating to me, I just wanted all of them to die. So at that point, it's not fun.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. I just wanted to plug Longmire yet again. Apparently, I'm the only one watching it this week.
Oh, no.
I watched two episodes in a row, and they were both really good. And the election thing is coming up, and they're trying to make us think that the guy that's running against the sheriff might not be such a bad guy. I don't know if I believe them, but that's what they're going for. And they cast his father, who is the actor from... The only thing I can think of is he used to be in Major Dad, like that TV
show.
Jerry
McCraney?
Is that the guy from Major Dad?
The lead?
That's the guy that
First season of Jericho.
Yes, exactly. He got cast as the father of the deputy that's going up against the sheriff. And it's really good casting because he's a great actor.
Good guy, too.
And it's just... Yeah. The show is really like... It's not about... A lot of cop shows are not about solving the crime.
Not about the case.
It's all about the characters. And I really, really thoroughly enjoy these characters. Okay, I'm done. Watch Longmire on Annie. Next up, unfortunately, we have... The series finale of Eureka.
Oh.
We would not play the schmaltzy song they wrote just for this episode to cause longtime fans to start crying.
The finale didn't actually make me cry per se, except for there was that scene where they're sitting on the bench at the end and they're like, "We'll miss this place." And I was like,
There was definitely poignant, but I like the fact that they went and of course, there was all the flashbacks through the wormhole, which was a really convenient way for them to do it,
without doing a clip show.
So I'm like, you know what? I totally understand why they did it that way, and I'm totally good with that. So yeah, and so it was really nice for them. But I liked the fact that everybody was there, and it was you could leave it and not feel bad for them. Like you could walk away from Eureka and know that they're still there, and it goes on.
Right.
Yeah, because I was terrified since they really didn't get any warning with this that they would end on this awful cliffhanger.
Me too.
Well, they did.
We would just be left in space. Nowhere.
Well, you know what? But that was the good thing because I will say I'll plug that I talked to them at the Paley Center a couple weeks ago, and that was one of the good things that Jamie and the others said. It was a week before this episode, and he basically just said, "Look, I'm not going to give anything away, but just so you know, we made a point of being able to give the fans a good ending, you know, a solid closure for them." He's like, they had just enough time, just enough heads up to scramble on it.
Well, they gave them the extra episode to wrap up.
That was all they had. And they were like, okay, oh my God. So
they used it well.
Yeah, they did. And he said, like, you know, and that was what they wrote in at the beginning when they find out, like, they thought they had 6 weeks to clear out Eureka. And they're like, we have to do it today. He's like, that was actually really what happened. Like, he's like, literally, that's what happened.
Because they had said we were getting you a 6 episode
season. And then they came back and said no. And they just
we're giving one episode.
Yeah. So that was reality and, you know, fantasy fiction merging. But anyway, yeah, I thought aside from the rather schmaltzy song, I agree, it was one of those, oh, let's try and tug at their heartstrings. But other than that, I thought they did a really nice job for a closure for a series that had been going on for, what, like 6 or 7 years now?
Well, it's 5 seasons, but the way sci-fi scheduled it.
Yeah, it was like over 7 years.
Spread it out over
They brought back everybody. Yeah. Like, everybody... Just about. Yeah, they pretty much brought everybody
who's
not
dead. And
all
the people you wanted to be together were together.
Right.
You know, so...
They paired... I was like, how are they going to get Henry and Grace... I couldn't figure... And they just kind of waved a magic wand.
And that little bomb at the end, Allison's pregnant, you know.
Right.
That was nice. So
it was like... Nice,
yeah, that was
because
that was... Because that was from a reference from the end of season one.
Yes.
Yep.
And I was like... All right,
yeah,
they made that all come together,
yeah,
and
so,
it,
well done.
And it was I like that moment because he was just like deja vu.
Well, literally when he and Zoe are driving out of town,
yeah,
and
yeah.
him and
yes.
Zoe driving into town.
Yes. Oh, they were like, "We'll deal with that tomorrow." That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So all the couples you wanted together ended up together, yeah. And it was a very happy ending, and it
yeah.
did make me happy, sad, and.
Yeah. Most series wish they could have like closure like that.
Seriously.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It just now I'm just all nostalgic.
I know. Well,
I guess
on. Let's go.
Okay.
No being more on here.
Oh, we're gonna start crying. No. I feel like I'm on the Fringe panel, right?
Oh yeah, true, right?
Well, yeah, they all started crying.
Yeah.
Watching Broyles' grown man cry on stage.
Oh. Are you serious?
Like, oh, he was bawling. Wow. He was like, "Don't tell anybody." And this, he's in Hall H.
In Hall H.
And he's like, "Don't tell anybody." And he is just crying and just tears.
Between me, you, and 7,000 other people.
And then
their Twitter. Followers.
Well, what was great was it started with Jessica, who plays Astrid. She started. She started crying, and sitting right next to her was Anna Torv. And so Anna Torv
started crying.
And then Lance was sitting next
okay.
to her, so he started. He's like, "I wasn't like watching him cry is just weird." He was just like, "I said I wasn't going to do it," and then he started crying, and then he literally couldn't speak, like
oh, wow.
he was having a really hard time speaking, and he just lost it. And what was great was sitting right next to him was John Noble, and John Noble was straight faced, and he just goes, "I too am very sensitive."
I'm Dinothorpe.
That was the most awesome thing ever. So that ended the whole crying spree. But I was just like, and then Firefly panel, everybody in the air started crying. I was like, oh
biggest
my God.
Ever.
So anyway, yes.
Yep.
So now I feel like I'm just thinking about it. I'm getting a little teary in the podcast. All right. So
Libby is for clip. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right.
Can I just put in a pitch for those of you who are not watching Teen Wolf?
I just started watching Teen Wolf.
It was a sleeper season one.
Yeah.
And season two, they've really... It's starting to kind of genuinely be a little scary.
What was season one? Was it really just last year?
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
No, it was last summer.
Because I saw two episodes when I was at the gym. That was what I saw.
No, seriously. That's
like
so weird.
Ago.
I literally just watched season one like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I was going to save... I have season two. I was going to save season two for my trip.
All right.
So... I am on board with, and it's. I ended up liking season one, because I watched it all together. I was like, it wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. I enjoyed it.
It was.
However, I will say the wolf on Lost Girl is way better than the Teen Wolf.
Oh,
yeah,
they
changed for season two.
Okay, because that wolf, man, on season one, I was like, this is the worst man.
CGI wolf, bad.
Yeah. And also even their half-turn makeup, the Beta Wolf, I thought that was awful. I was like, who is doing this makeup? But,
Unlocked,
like Dyson on Lost Girl, it looks amazing.
I've noticed that. Definitely, I've noticed
that. It
looks
really good.
Yep.
Okay,
anyway,
off topic. Right. We're going back to topic, which is, we saw
what
the...
What was that again? What was that topic?
The topic is, next up is Perception, which is a new series on TNT. And
Eric McCormack... playing their version of The Mentalist meets House meets Lie to Me.
I watched the first 20 minutes of it, and I said...
Oh, just the pilot?
Of the pilot?
I watched both episodes 1 and 2.
I watched the first 20 minutes of the pilot, and I said, Patrick Jane does this better.
By way of Beautiful Mind. Sorry, I forgot to mention that.
Oh, he's just... The thing is... Okay, hold on. What I will say is that... The way he gets his clues and figures stuff out is so ridiculous.
It's so randomly convenient for the writers.
Yeah, it makes
sense. And the character.
It doesn't make him seem smart.
No, it just... And they need to figure out what his backstory is, because he's just, you know... Oh, we know he's eccentric. The show, in two episodes, that show is all over the place in terms of... I totally predicted that Kelly Rowan from The OC and Boomtown was in his head, not for real, which was like, you know, anybody with half a brain watching the pilot could figure that out.
But it's just all... They've got to figure out what the show's about and what his real abilities are.
You have to convince me that he's smart. And they didn't do that.
Nah, it's just... Yeah. It's just frustrating because he is a great Emmy-winning actor. And I like Rachel Lee Cook as the police officer.
I didn't like her as a police officer. She seemed too young. I just didn't believe her.
She's not, though, in real life.
She looks really young.
Well, she looks really young. I like her better in this than I did as Sean's girlfriend that one season of Psych.
I don't even remember that. That might be why I don't like her.
But
subconsciously.
Yeah. They brought in Jamie Bamber as another professor at the university.
Really?
A new professor season two.
You should have led with that. You should have led with Jamie Bamber.
Jamie Bamber got top guest billing for episode two, and LeVar Burton is the dean at his school.
So they're trying to get all the sci-fi people.
Well, LeVar Burton's in the pilot, too.
Okay. Oh, I didn't make it that far.
But they just... And they've said it. They basically configured the first episode so Jamie Bamber and Rachel Lee Cook have a meet cute, and she's slightly offended. And then at the end of the episode, she ends up taking him to a baseball game that Eric McCormack was supposed to take Jamie Bamber to. It's just I will give it a couple more episodes, but I think it's one of those things where it was an interesting pitch. But man, the execution's got to get much better.
Yeah, it's not working for me. Like, you have to convince me that your detective or your guy that's all crazy, you have to convince me that he's smart, to so smart that I can, that not just me, but other people will bypass the crazy to get to the smart. And I am not convinced he's smart.
And the notion that he keeps seeing people who aren't real who help him with the investigation... Again, it's too convenient for the writers, but it doesn't make any sense to the viewers.
Right, it's just not working. So. All right, so if you guys have a different thought on that, let us know. Because right now, I'm out. Convince me I'm wrong. Next up, talk about White Collar.
Woo!
And we can talk about the two episodes together, the premiere and the second episode, because basically both of those, it was pretty much a two-parter.
Yeah, it was basically a movie.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Was I supposed to not listen because I'm not caught up yet? Isn't that what you said?
For White Collar?
Yeah.
No. I was talking about Suits.
Okay, good.
That was Suits. So yes, White Collar is...
Keep going.
Wrong USA with charming romance at the...
With cute guys, yeah, sorry. It's
charming
all
romance at the forefront.
Right.
Yes, two hot guys, both shows.
Yeah.
And you can tell your friend I said that.
I told him last time.
Yes. All
right.
Even better, I told his wife.
Sorry.
But anyway, this was a really good two-parter because it was basically the guys, Maz and Neil, are on a non-extradition island. Which is just like, the island is...
Is that a new Fox reality show?
Non-extradition island. Exactly. So it was all pretty good, them trying to get on with their life, and Peter just missing him. It was so sad. It worked with the bromance, though, because he just really missed Neil. Like, he couldn't move on with his life without Neil there. And I was like, aw. And
it's interesting that it's going to have consequences with when they return back to New York, because the agency, or, you know, people suspect that Peter was...
helping Neil.
Yeah.
Which he wasn't.
At least by omission, if not in commission. And he did. He did.
He did.
He tipped him off to run.
Yes, he did.
And he fessed up to some people.
And so now he's in trouble. So the whole point was he's being hunted. And the way he's being hunted on the island by Mekhi Phifer. I don't like him. I've come to that conclusion.
As an actor or just because the characters he plays?
Is he just playing the same character in everything he's in?
He played a different character on ER.
Okay. Well, everything I've seen him on recently,
but
he's
basically played the
same character.
But he's got the obnoxious government agent down.
Yes, because I hated him on Torchwood, and I hate him on here. So I was like, okay, he's playing the same guy. I just really, really dislike him. Okay, so his whole thing is he's trying to hunt down Neil, but... what I like is what Peter goes through to save Neil. Like, all the hoops and whatever he goes through. He doesn't even care that if he's sacrificing his job because he gets suspended. It's like he doesn't care.
But the thing that I really appreciate about this two-parter and the thing I appreciate about the series construction is that Peter is Neo's equal, and he's the one who figures out if we can give the feds a bigger fish than Neo, we can get Neo returned to status quo.
Right.
And of course, Greg Henry, you know, Neo's supposed benefactor on non-extradition island, it turns out, is a more wanted fugitive.
Well, of course. I mean, so, that was kind of obvious because
he's
like, I've been on this island for 20 years and I won't tell you who I am.
And I like the fact that just the setup of the, you know, White Collar is such a well-written, well-produced, well-acted show.
Right.
And this, it was all organic. It didn't feel out of the blue. It didn't feel like a deus ex machina. It just felt like, okay, we know how to get you out of, I figured out how to get you out of this. Now let's put our caper into motion.
Yeah, and then I always like when they're in execution plan mode, you know.
And I love having Mozzie having to make terms with, he and the suit are now allies and co-conspirators.
Well, the only thing that worries me is Mozzie was like, I'm not coming back with you, but They can't get rid of Mozzie. He is the comic relief. He is Neil's he has two best friends. He has Mozzie and he has Peter. They're both his best
friends. Well, it's the old thing about your two best friends who don't like each other that much, but tolerate each other on your behalf.
Right. And they all work together. And Mozzie likes the Mrs. Suit.
I want to see more of Mozzie and Elle because the scenes the two of them have had together are just...
Well, I like it. He really likes her.
He does really like
her. And so I like their chemistry and everything. So.
And congratulations to, by the way, to Sharif Atkins for finally getting his name at the top of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Just being listed as first guest star. Because he's been in every episode.
Since the beginning,
Since the beginning.
All right. So wrapping up, White Collar, two thumbs up. Woo-hoo. I'm loving this show. Next up, Rizzolian Isles, baby.
Thank you, Libya, for turning me on to this show.
Yay!
I initially just dismissed it as, oh, it's like an updated Cagney and Lacey. Again, we're starting to see on these basic cable shows, well-produced, well-written, well-acted shows that could be on a network, except for they're not.
And they get
great ratings.
I was going to say, and I'm glad they're not on the network because...
They get to live.
Right. they don't cancel them as quickly. And Rizzolian Isles, what I loved is, because I think I watched a bunch of them in a row, because they dealt with the whole mom, her mom.
How heartbreaking was that?
That was like the worst. That cannot be the end of that story.
Oh, it can't be.
But
especially when you go to the trouble of casting Sharon Lawrence as her mother, and it's such a great bit of casting.
Well, and the thing is, I didn't understand why the sister was so angry with her. I was like, it's not her fault.
And now, but she's a teenage girl.
Oh,
like teenage women need to have a reason to be angry. You guys were, y'all were teenage girls. I have older sisters. I remember those days.
So she basically is angry at Isles because... you died and my mom loved you more because you were dead and how could I compete with that? And she's like, well, you know, it wasn't on purpose. I didn't, you know. So that's the whole thing about because she wanted to get close to her mom without admitting that she was her daughter. And so it kind of created this web of lies.
But I love that the sister figures it out.
Yeah, she puts all the pieces together.
The sister puts all the pieces together.
And I don't know why the mom didn't. It was pretty obvious, though.
I think the mom was blind to it. And plus, she's dealing with the fact that her daughter's
going to die, right? And so, all of this is just... that scene at the end when she finally tells her, her mom just, like, freaks out.
Yeah, she does.
And just says all the absolute wrong things to say in that moment. And I'm sure her mom will completely regret it in, like, 5 minutes.
Or five episodes.
Five episodes. But I just can't imagine like what that's like for her, thinking her daughter's dead and then seeing an adult woman that she's been hanging out with for the last couple weeks and trying to reconcile those two images.
And even though I'm new to the Rizzolian Isles party, I appreciate the fact that with their arcs, they don't have to rush them because they know they have X episodes per season.
Right.
Whereas in the network show, we might not be able to finish this before the X comes.
Right.
But, I'm really glad that you turned me onto the show because it's, you know, just the chemistry between... It's funny seeing a buddy cop show with two women as the buddies.
Right. And they, the thing that's funny also is the way their go-to of getting out of a, like if a guy is hitting on them too hard and they don't want to deal with it, their go-to is they pretend that they're lesbians. and they've done it, and then they have to remember, okay, these we're lesbians for these guys, right? Oh, okay. So, like, they've done that before, which is really funny to me.
I like the supporting cast, too. Rizzoli's younger brother is played by Jordan Bridges, who is Beau Bridges' son, Jeff Bridges' nephew. And just, it's a well-cast show. Lee Thompson Young plays the black cop, and then...
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, just great supporting cast.
I don't understand why they added the nun this season. That's kind of weird.
That's the one thing I'm not too crazy on.
I can't figure out why they did that, unless it's going to pay off later.
And I like the actor. I've seen her before in many other things. I have, too. Playing a very similar character.
I just don't understand why they added her. It's just weird. She's just hanging out in the office.
I'm hoping that's going to pay off somehow.
Yeah. The other brother, the middle brother, I don't like particularly. I don't particularly like him. Because as we found out, he slept with
his dad's fiance. Ew.
So either the baby is their sibling or their niece or nephew, and they don't
Did
know
he
which.
Not know that it
was he knew.
He knew.
Oh.
He knew.
Oh,
he knew. But the father was dating a really much younger woman. Mm-hmm. But still, that's uncool, man.
Not cool.
And so the father broke off the engagement, and the mom randomly ran into the fiance. Like,
no, the fiance literally ran into the mom.
But on purpose?
No, literally ran in the car.
Oh, no, their cars crashed. I understand
That was accidental.
So that's now weird because now the kids have figured out what's going on, but the mom hasn't figured out what's going on. And yeah, that's
family meeting.
Yes, that's going to be bad. Oh, well, now that we're plugging other things, the show that I'm currently just got into, by the way, is Blue Bloods. And I am towards the end of season two, and there's only two seasons. And again, the cases are whatever, who cares. The thing I like about that show
family
is
dynamics.
Family. It's the
and
family.
And Tom Selleck is the patriarch.
Yeah, and it makes you want to be a cop. It's so weird. But it also, the family on that show reminds me of my family and reminds me of my Sunday dinners and reminds me of my grandpa. Like everything that they do. Because I've got two brothers. And a sister. I got two sisters, two brothers. Every Sunday we would go to my grandparents' house, like all that stuff. I was like, yeah, we did that. So it's really kind of surreal watching the show and the brother and sister dynamics. Is like, yeah, me and my brothers fight. And like the grandfather, like the two of them were fighting, having a really big argument at the dinner table. And so the grandfather made them go wash dishes. And they're adults, right? They're all like 35, 40 years old. Yeah. And the grandfather, you go and wash the dishes. You know, like, I was just like, that's so awesome. And I like the show because of the family. Not because of the cases or because of whatever. But yeah, I just started watching that like 2 weeks ago. And I think I like it. So if I can then convince anyone else to watch it, then maybe we'll talk about it in the podcast. But I don't know. It's not like...
It's in reruns now, so...
Well, yeah. And it's not like one of the shows like, oh my God, you have to watch this show. It's not like that.
It's kind
of
like the comfort food TV.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It makes me feel good, and that's about it.
But it's interesting. It's a Friday night show on CBS, and it's a show that's defying the Friday night death slot.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy it. All right, so off topic. Mm-hmm. Back on topic. Next, we're going to talk about Burn Notice for 5 seconds.
Yep.
So I'm watching two episodes of Burn Notice ago, and I'm realizing what's wrong with the show. They've got to have some real stakes. They got to kill somebody.
Yes.
My money's on Nate because they've been using him more this season. And the teaser for next week's episode, and somebody's not coming back alive.
But that never happens. They do that all the time.
Well, no, but it's not gonna. It never happens in the main cast. It's always a supporting character like a Nate.
Because that would have ramifications.
These missions where people are in jeopardy, and then oh my gosh, Bruce Campbell's I'm fine. I'm Bruce Campbell. I'm a cult hero.
Well, even all the cliffhangers and their season end cliffhangers, the same things. You know damn well when they come back, they'll get out of their pinch and everyone will be rescued. And
I agree. Yeah. Nate is fair game because this two episode mini arc with Kristen Loken or whatever.
Yeah,
she was
the blonde chick.
The blonde chick. Is it just me, or if you close your eyes, does she sound like a young Sharon Glass?
Oh,
the mom, Madeline.
Oh!
She sound, close your eyes, she sound just the raspy, kind of husky voice.
It just kind of freaked me out.
Well, the only thing I noticed that she's basically being the equivalent of Fiona, since Fiona's in jail right now.
Right.
Which I just figured out. I was like, oh, she pulled the Fiona right there. So I figured that out. But, I mean, I think she's okay. I don't mind her. I don't mind the story. But the crux is, Burn Notice was the last thing I had to watch for this podcast. And I fell asleep. Last night, and about 30 minutes in, I was knocked out, and I woke up, and I was like, oh, it's podcast time.
It's
one of those shows that I multitask through, much like we were mentioning earlier. I like it. I watch it because I kind of want to see what happens. And I'm a sucker for that because I feel like they've teased us over the years with some sort of like gravitas in the series. Like,
and then it never happens.
Or there will be something where
something
happens and the character will actually carry that with them moving forward. Like that, whatever that flaw or that damage is. And they never do. They always reset.
My favorite tease was the revelation that Frasier's dad burned Michael. It's like...
Yeah.
What?
I know. Yeah.
And
I
we
know.
Don't care about... I mean,
no, we don't care.
For a while,
I think
I was
beyond that, you know, at that point.
For a while, I was wondering if maybe Sam was involved with Michael
Greenberg. That would have been
amazing. That would have been awesome.
Because that would have had some real consequence.
But
you return to status quo...
Yes,
and even
reset.
When you do all these little special episodes or these little big stakes episodes... And we still end up working a case of the week, this time for the bad girl from last week is the case of the week from this week.
Yes, they kind of
As we yawned, like I said, I fell asleep last time. So.
I hope they're seriously thinking exit strategy for the show.
Yeah, it needs to
be.
It's season six and it really is just feeling
going.
Right.
Except that the ratings are still high. Why would USA cancel it?
It's better to end that on top than to limp to the finish line.
I'm just saying they have no reason to cancel it.
Yeah, their formula right now works, but it's starting to get... I love them. The cast is great, but it's starting to get on my nerves. Well, because like I said, I give them a long lead to finally do something exciting. But
it's like CBS wanting to pick up a season 9 of How I Met Your Mother. It's like, good Lord.
When are you going
to
meet our...
The kids are grown in real life on other shows.
All right. Next up, we're going to talk about consequences. We're going to talk about Suits.
Girl.
And Suits this week knocked my socks off.
Yeah.
I
love this show.
It was really good. Gina Torres was rocking.
Notice how we still haven't been in the courtroom this season yet.
Oh, we were.
Were we?
Yeah, because Mike did the court for the emancipation.
Oh, briefly. That's right.
The emancipation thing. He did that.
But it was more of a hearing than a trial.
That's true. But... Suits excels at not going into court, so that works for me.
Yeah, it does.
Donna.
Oh, it was... You know, the thing I love, especially about the last couple episodes, is trying to humanize... Season one, Lewis was the bad guy, the obstacle, etc. And I love that they're trying to humanize him bit by bit. He's still not an ally per se... But the bit with Rachel and him, I thought was really nice. And the fact that Rachel and Mike have kind of a truce that I'm still angry with you because you're keeping something from me, but I need this. I can't tell you.
But trust me.
Trust me.
Right. That was pretty good. I don't know if I needed to see Lewis's cat, though. That was
an ugly cat, too.
But,
it was a nasty, ugly cat.
Yeah. But the thing that was really... Him breaking down in the break room.
Oh.
That was
nice.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
And as a former pet owner, man, you get attached to animals, and people who haven't had a beloved pet may not understand, but I totally...
Yeah, he was lost. I was like, oh, that's sad. But the big thing was
the main event.
Donna. Woo! Doing the wrong thing for the right reason, ending with the wrong results, she is the poster child.
Yes. The construction of the episode where at the end of last week's we found out that Donna had seen the memo and had forgotten about it and hyper efficient. So starting off with her thinking about, you know, getting ready to shred it, and Mike catches her not knowing what she's doing and then figures it out and basically blackmails her, says, you tell him or I will. And then, you know, she doesn't come clean at the right time and just uncomfortable conversations. That's what...
It broke my heart, man. It just broke.
And it was like, meant to be.
It just broke. Everything about it was, of all the characters for them to get rid of, that was not the one.
I don't think she's off the show, though.
I hope.
I'll be really interested to see how they finagle to bring her back. But that Did you notice the lawyer, the actress Diane Neal, who played the lawyer?
Yeah, was from Law and Order. Law and Order, right.
SVU.
I watched SVU, so of course I knew who that was.
But it was interesting just, and the whole power play between Jessica.
However, her dress was awesome. That white dress.
Her dresses are awesome.
Well, not just Jessica. I mean, the...
Oh, Diane Neal's?
Yeah, her white dress was awesome. I was like, whoa.
Well, I love when she called out Jessica for wearing that dress is not appropriate for the office.
She was like, I will be honest with you. That was pretty good.
And the backstory just with the mother, the wife and mother whose reputation, whose late husband, Harvey, had trashed.
Oh, and he thought, you know, all I have to do is actually say I'm sorry. Like, I like that moment of revelation where he was like, I never said I was sorry. So he tries that. It totally doesn't work, but, you know, he tries it.
I just love the characters on this show. And I love that there are, I mean, at the center of this show is this illegitimate lawyer. And now everybody, pretty much, except for his would-be girlfriend, is in on the gag.
Well, not the other Pearson or Hardman.
Well, not Hardman. He's not a main character.
Well,
he's an obstacle.
He is an obstacle, yes.
And somehow I have a sneaking suspicion he will find out before the end of the season. There's just too much information. Too many people know.
Well, what's his name? Lewis doesn't know. No.
Although he had suspicions initially. But back to the Donna Harvey thing, it's such a betrayal of... I mean, the captain of my ship, the last captain of my ship, had in his standing orders, bad news does not improve with age. Do not hesitate to tell me the moment you realize something is going wrong.
Right.
And this is a classic case that, yes, the mistake was made years ago, but trying to cover it up, doing now what you were accused of doing then
does not help
make things better.
No.
And for Donna, and putting the crucial moment off screen was even more devastating.
Right.
Because we've seen her getting ready to do it
twice. Right.
And for the third, I love the show.
Yeah.
And the fact
and then a moment at the elevator, they didn't even speak.
No, the final scene, though, the final scene with Jessica and Donna, where Jessica, when Jessica says, I'm going to have this conversation, however you want to have this conversation with you, but it's my firm, and I told him I needed to do it. Am I being fired? Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
No, but the elevator scene was the heartbreak.
Ugh.
That was the heartbreak. And I was just like, they didn't even speak to each other.
No.
It was like, what do you say?
Especially considering what we know / suspect about their own relationship.
Right.
I want to see, and from the previews of next week's episode, he's going to fall apart a bit.
Yeah.
But man.
Which means that he probably is in love with her.
You think?
Well, why else would he fall apart like that? Like, he just spins out.
I just... The fascinating thing about this show is... And even though Gabriel Mock gets top billing, and he's great, but it is really Mike's story in terms of...
And not for me, it's not.
Well, but in terms of the way the show is constructed, it's basically Mike is the one who's perpetrating this fraud.
Right.
And he's got to decide, you know, this young non-lawyer or fake lawyer being mentored, who does he want to be? Does he want to be Harvey? Does he want to be Lewis? Does he want to be Hardman? God, no. But it's him. I mean, it's a bromance. The pairing I really want to see more of on the show is Jessica and Mike. Because I think Harvey sees in Mike a young him,
right.
But Jessica, because he's put the firm at risk, keeps her distance from Mike, but I really hope they're doing an episode where the two of them have to work together on something. And maybe it's to pull Harvey out of this Donna-induced funk.
Anytime you put Jessica more in the story, I'm happy, but I understand what you're saying is more about Mike, but I kind of feel it's more about Harvey, because that's who I associate with. But anyway, we're going to wrap this one up.
Okay.
Thumbs big up.
Two big thumbs up. It was amazing. Really good episode.
Wow.
And
I can't believe they didn't give me Emmy love.
Nah.
Darn you, Emmy voters. Although he did get a SAG nomination, so.
It's all right. All right, so if you have any feedback, any comments on all our long diatribe of Emmys and or TV shows, you can send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are on Facebook. You can listen to us on getthepointradio.com, Krypton Radio, and Weedonopolis, and iTunes. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye. Bye-bye.